we go.
All right, you good, Adam?
Yep.
All right. Intro now.
This is the Are You Screwed podcast.
12 to 3 is going to be an entire stadium of sad drunks at Rutgers Stadium.
Three-star recruit. I'd upgrade him to about 3.14159. I call him the Pie Man.
There was like a screw pretty much lodged in my ass the rest of the game.
I mean, like, yes.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
Arriba! Arriba! Arriba!
Puka Williams doesn't have any toes on one of his feet.
What?
No, not, stop it!
Baker's Quakers.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
This is a disaster.
You know what I love about that intro?
What's that?
That we have an update. Like, that's from 2019. It really speaks to the laziness of this podcast that we have not updated that. That's a 3.5-year-old intro. Now, it's not like other podcasts that just, you know, get a guy to record an intro like this and then use it over and over again. Like, you know, we like to make it spice it up. But I haven't made a new intro in a long time.
It will stand the test of time. And in terms of laziness, I think we talked about it last time. Danny Brackets is here, by the way. You'll hear him in a second. But to highlight the laziness, we know Knights of the Raritan announced their deal where all football and basketball players are getting something now. And it still just amazes me that it's all because of us. It's all because of us. It's all because of this podcast. This podcast, Danny wrote that ridiculous tweet where Knights of the Raritan changed Rutgers sports forever. No. We changed Rutgers sports forever. I will gladly accept some type of statue being built for the three of us, meaning myself, Max, and Mike. So we should be honored in some capacity at one of these games coming up. Right? We changed Rutgers sports forever. Now, our AD,
Danny was steadfastly against paying the players. He said never pay the players.
Whoa, that is so untrue.
College
Danny was, I don't
naive.
Know. Naive. Yes, naive's a good word. Also kind of a prick. But no, yeah, I would say naive is a pretty good word.
No, college Danny wasn't
I think
a prick.
Danny
college,
want to, he want to, he annoying. Wanted the means of production to be controlled by a capital.
Karl Marx. Did anyone ask for your opinion?
There was this tweet. I said it to Mike. I don't think I said it to you guys. That was like, welcome to Twitter. Here's your copy of the Communist Manifesto and a subscription to WWE Monday Night Raw. And I was that's Mike.
You did send it.
I did
you
send that
to us. It was so good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I just think every time I see some, you know, fairly monumental thing from Danny and John, I'm just like, man, we suckered them into doing a lot of work. And it's great. I'm happy at the end of the day.
I can confirm it's a lot of work.
It is. Listen, we've said it many, many times. There in this world, there needs to be people like you and John, and there needs to be idiots like the three of us who just basically ask to speak to the manager until something is finally done. And now you guys have done it. So thank you.
Did you enjoy your chicken tenders and fries, sir?
Is this the first time the poor people have made the rich people do something for them for free?
Jeez.
I'm sure we can come up with some good examples.
You're the one who goes on vacations.
How many vacations have you been on this month?
Yeah. I've been on one vacation in like, what, 4 years?
I think that's all of us. There was a pandemic, just to note that. So
that didn't stop some people, Danny. It didn't stop some people.
Yeah, true.
Mike, what are you unboxing? Like, what is that?
I found the box for a Fitbit, but I don't know what else is in there. And it's not a new Fitbit.
You want to do a live unboxing?
I feel like
the most boring unboxing ever.
I feel like I was just about to say that this podcast would be great for an unboxing would be Mike's idea, where it's something that doesn't work from it's an audio thing that makes no sense because you need video. Like this would be perfect for Mike.
He's opening the box. There's some kind of instruction manual in there.
It's empty.
There's some kind of like that weird little cardboard thing where the wires are in. There's nothing.
It's a rainy Wednesday night. I'm watching Mike unbox a Fitbit, And I'll tell you what, normally that would already be considered relatively depressing, but then the only game on TV is Minnesota-Indiana. So
why that makes quite a difference. Why are you bothering watching that? Do other programs that are going to be five seeds even worry about those types of teams?
Butler Providence, Danny. That's on.
Indiana, though, got to worry about the net.
Oh, it has to be a Big Ten game?
Yeah. Well, it's got to affect Rutgers net in some way.
I'm sure I think there's some convoluted way that Butler affects the Rutgers net.
Oh, next, I think I've accepted it, by the way. I was having a conversation with my dad in the game last night while we were together, and we both were just like, we're accepting that this team is who they are, and they're pretty good, and they're gonna be a good.
Oh, your father has been texting me all day today. And by the way, he could said whatever he said to your face last night. Today he was texting me about how Tom Young started this and Pykele can take it to new heights. Okay. Tom Young.
Chill out, Papa Helfgott.
That's where your father has been today.
Let's what's the text? Up. I feel like Danny's thieving something out right now.
Should I read it? All right, because I know sure. Rob. Right, I know Rob listens. And listen, I love your father, and he is one of the greatest Rutgers fans out there.
Is this a breach of confidentiality that you're reading text on a podcast?
Your father texted me at 2:02 p.m. today. Really is amazing. Really is amazing what happens with winning and some momentum. Pykele deserves all the credit for this. Him being such a nice guy adds to the good publicity. But there's never been any question in my mind that New Jersey and Rutgers is always much more of a basketball place. The public just needs to see the results. Tom Young started all this, and Pykele now has a chance to bring it to new heights. Hopefully Ace Bailey is as successful as James was 45 years ago.
Tom Young. You know what? You know what I'm going to do right now, guys?
Can we talk about for a second you should never.
First of all, I love your father there. That's unbelievable. No,
I have to do this now. Let me do this now. Okay. I have been saving this like opinion for later, but I'm going to do it now just because it came up. I'm talking about Tom Young and like he started this, whatever. This Rutgers team is the best Rutgers team in school history. This team would wipe the floor with the 76 team. Wipe the floor with them. Come on, look at this, beating the Citadel, wins against Stetson, Navy, Delaware, William and Mary, at Long Island. What is Long Island?
I don't know. It sounds like Steve Pykele's out of conference schedule right now. So
they beat Long Island twice. VMI, come on, no.
Well, VMI was a legitimate.
Nah, VMI is never legitimate, Danny. No, this is a paper tiger, is what this team is, and this Rutgers team would wipe the floor.
I'm in on that take. That's like saying any of today's major leaguers would just dominate Babe Ruth, and I'm in agreement on that.
No. It's beyond that.
It's beyond that. I out of a seven game series, how long does it take for this team to get to four?
Four?
Against the 76 team.
Do you think they sweep the 76 team?
Maybe gentlemen sweep.
How are they gonna score?
Phil Sellers?
I know they scored a lot of points, but
yeah, they scored a lot of points.
they ran offensively. I wonder who had the more flashy style, probably the 76 team.
They were called Run Rutgers Run. So yeah,
they averaged like around 100 a game. So
yeah. They plagiarized the St. Peter's nickname.
That was.
Yes, from before 68. That? They plagiarized that from St. Peter's.
It was the 70s, man. There weren't that many nicknames for teams that played fast. Like it was
run, the run, team, baby, run, St. Peter's team.
It was run, team, run. Like that was all you could call them.
By the way, isn't that the name of their arena? Run, baby, run.
Yeah, because somebody from that team like went on to be rich and donated the money. And they said, call Run, Baby, Run Arena.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's what you'll eventually do with the rack.
What am I going to call it?
Okay, so do we want to talk about this game?
Well, Danny Breslau Arena, obviously. Wait, can we just talk about how you should never text Danny anything because he's a snitch? Not because he just snitched on Papa Helfgott. Remember, Max, when he snitched on you to John?
No, that is not a snitch on Papa Helfgott. It was a more than warranted inclusion to the conversation, and I heart Papa Helfgott and his constant communication.
I think that at this point, I think that Rob understands... As you understand that, like anything could potentially be content on this podcast. So like, I don't think you revealed anything crazy other than his strange Tom Young started this thing.
Well, I mean,
35 years ago,
Rob has an affinity toward the, you know, he covered Tom Young, right, as a student journalist in school. So he has an affinity toward that era.
Sure.
We both
left for American.
Where we get along very well is he pissed Tom Young off substantially at certain points in his writing at the Targum, where he got calls from Tom. And then I pissed Greg off enough while I was at WRSU to get calls. So it's a very nice father-son bonding that we have, where we try and just piss off one of the most high-profile head coaches at the schools at the time.
I'll never forget being down at Navy with your dad, and somebody came to confront your dad about your writing about Greg. And that was one of the funniest exchanges of all time. Your dad was just like, "So?" And then just walked away. It was great. It was so great.
Yeah, because he's an adult. You figure it out with him.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Mike, yeah. So Mike, do you want to get to your thing now? You want to do this now? Because Danny's not. Danny's got things to do. Danny's
yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I got things to do, like eating dinner.
Sure. But yeah, you can eat. You eat. But when you eat dinner, I want you to eat dinner like on the camera. I want to watch
9:13. That doesn't like sound like a good digestive.
Is that like a like a fetish thing that you have?
Now? I think it would.
I made the mistake.
Terrible content.
Of eating dinner last night while the kids were awake, and I regret it immediately. So I vow to not do that.
Why did they throw your food or something?
Have you ever tried to eat with two screaming children running around you?
Well, you have like a way different relationship to eating, I think.
That's not
Mike. Mike needs silence.
Must appreciate the sustenance.
Well, I mean, I think the difference is I like food and good food. You like Subway. So that kind of explains everything. You're willing to burn everything down.
Why don't we get Mike's presence here was unexpected. I thought Mike was going to leave us with this thing he recorded, but he's here for now. And he also has this segment that he's bringing back. So
I really only came on for the Trader Joe's item of the week because I got to
just make sure you guys mute your mics. All right. Here we go.
Max, after two podcasts in 3 months, after one co-host quit rather than having his career tanked by the association, after Adam took 3 trips abroad to Portman Road, the Are You Screw podcast is back. The only podcast that makes fewer episodes than Scarlet Pravda. Even that podcast dropped every 2 weeks, except for holidays, birthdays, bar mitzvahs, meetings, and happy hours. The Are You Screw podcast is now the preeminent Rutgers sports podcast at barely putting out podcasts. Congrats to the Scarlet Spotlight on a great run. 116 episodes, and Max didn't listen to a single one. The only podcast that wanted to talk about lacrosse. Danny and John finally realized something. With all that money, they could just buy influence at Rutgers instead of panhandling for it. If only Knights of the Raritan could raise as much money as it makes announcements. Then every Rutgers athlete would be in a Lambo. This month, KOTR ran a fundraiser where it told fans if they raised a certain amount of money, then donors would match it. Looks like wealthy Rutgers donors figured out something rich people have known for a while. Don't spend your own money if you can get the public to pay for it instead. Seriously, who is Dave Anderson? I think it's time this podcast gives Steve Peichel an apology. He's got Rutgers ranked, they're going to be a 5 seed in the big dance, and now he's recruiting like he's Jay Wright. He got Ace Bailey without a dime in NIL money. Schools around the country have their collectives paying the players. At Rutgers, the collective is the one asking you to pay them. Ace Bailey could have gone to Auburn, where they have bag men. He chose Rutgers, where they tell you to bring your own bag. BYOB. Gavin Griffiths, underrated. Purdue, overrated. Every year. Joe Burrow, Joe Cool. Brian Daboll, Coach of the Year. Gio Reyna, do it on a sweltering night in Doha. Josh Allen, let's see you do it in the playoffs. Pat Mahomes, toughed it out. Cam Spencer, gamer. Lights,
Cameron, action. Kirk Chiraka is back. Captain Kirk, you know what they say. The sequel is always better. Top 5 sequels of all time. Too Fast, Too Furious. Fast 5. Fast and Furious 6. Fast and Furious 7. R.I.P. Paul Walker. And Avengers Endgame. Went to a Jersey Mike's a few weeks ago. Tasted like a poor man's Blimpy. Still don't understand why they sell them at the rack. At least it's not Subway. No chance in hell I'd eat that at a basketball game. Speaking of hell, Art Briles.
One good line. One.
Wow, you're a tough critic.
That panhandle line was pretty good.
This subtlety of calling it KOTR was very, that was my favorite part.
I didn't even catch that.
Appreciate the effort. Thanks for doing that, Mike.
Yeah, maybe Danny can give it a second and a third listen so he gets all the subtleties in there.
There's a lot of stuff, Danny. If Danny looked out, there was one in there, he missed a lot of stuff.
Not to take the spotlight away from Mike, I was trying hard to find some time today to put this together, and I tried, and it wasn't good. I was going to do a song in honor of Paul Mulcahy. He is most notable offensive move, Max, which is the turn your back and just go to the hoop. And so I was trying to do it to Juvenile's Back That Ass Up.
And Adam, what you learned is there are some songs you can't do. And no,
I almost had a hook to it. I just couldn't do anything prior to the hook.
It's really, like, it's hard. That's a really hard.
Oh, you look good when you back that ass up. He's a fine point guard when you back that ass up. You call him Big Mulch when you back that ass up.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, no, I had it like kind of in my head. I just didn't have time to really dive into it. And then I played the song and I was like, wow, I forgot how much of the rap in the beginning I cannot do.
It's, yeah, like as someone who has mentally attempted to like figure out, okay, can I make this song like with hundreds of songs? Most of them like that's a song you can't do that.
Yeah,
so, there are so many songs I've wanted to do that I can't, because like I can't make a song based on Without Me by Eminem, as many good lyrics as I come up with. I can't do it because I can't sing that song.
Man, that's your legacy, Max. Truly, that is your legacy, that you have made the Rutgers fan base think that they can make a song about just about anything involving Rutgers athletics.
That's no one else has tried, though.
No one I know, but trying. they all aspire to, but they just don't have the time that Mike apparently does.
By the way, you want the first react? I mean, you guys all laughed at that, but we just got a live reaction from my wife, who's in the other room listening to this right now and can only hear me, so they can't hear you. She can only hear me. After me giving you that little demo, the text was, "I think my ovaries just shriveled up." All right, glad I didn't put the rest of that song to use.
Oh my god,
that's harsh, Charles.
Paul Mulcahy definitely grew up watching Mark Jackson Pacers highlight videos, right? Like that's what he learned his game from.
It's just like this is one of the 20 best teams in the country whose entire offense is like a point guard backing up from 25 feet out. It's like, this is the stupidest team of all time. I love this team so much, but it's so dumb.
Wait, so can I ask, I have two things for you before I go, because I really do need dinner. Did you guys see that an Uber Eats delivery guy walked onto the court in the middle of Loyola Chicago Duquesne tonight?
We did, because you sent it to us.
If you could deliver any food in the middle of a game for you, if you're sitting courtside, where's it from? Danny, I know Subway for you.
No.
I would like to order the new wings from Taco Bell.
I'm going to get them tomorrow night.
Event? That seems hard.
They didn't look that saucy. It's like finger food. So
the reviews are good. The reviews are good. I think they're like a good amount of crispy and like nice.
You read more than one review. One review. How much, the same review you read?
I have a lot of questions. How did this person get in? Did they have to pay for a ticket? So did the person ordering the food pay for the ticket to get the food? And then how much do you tip on an order like that if it actually gets to you?
Oh, if they get to you, you have to give them like 30%.
30? That's it?
I mean, 30 is a lot.
That's not that much. That's not that much if this person just got through security and found a way on the court to your court.
We can't all skim off the top, Danny.
Skim off the top. I'm talking about tipping service workers more than that. And you're the one.
Speaking of great food, I got to stop and stuff your face before last night's game. Nice. Oh, it was so good.
That's what I would want courtside. Give me a bowlie.
So good.
Danny, make it happen. Why isn't stuff your face like at the rack? Like, isn't this something you could make happen?
Yeah, can you?
Yeah.
Well, I can't. You act like I have any clout.
I got a Roni and sausage bowlie.
Well, you're on the Clout Chasing podcast, so obviously
what,
you have
what
some
podcast?
Clout. We're the
Cloud
Chasing.
Oh, you're the Cloud Chasing podcast.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
The preeminent Cloud Chasing podcast.
That's right.
All right. Can I get my Trader Joe's item of the week before I go have dinner?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Discovered it today when I went to Trader Joe's. Had to get it immediately. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. You, there. All right. Go ahead.
All right. Here's this maple pancake flavored puffs.
Ooh.
Amazing.
Not a huge snack guy, but that sounds like it would be
me
good.
Either, but man, oof, this is so good. It's like just like you're just snacking on desserts one after another.
Yeah. Danny, on the avocado scale, what do you think that would taste like?
3.5 avocados.
Oh, I think that's about right. Yeah.
Danny, there was someone in the Discord who was having a problem with like buying avocados because like they were buying a bunch of them at the same time. I'm saying I forgot who it was, but someone needs your help on buying avocados.
I
for the
mean,
week.
Clearly, because it's a real system. Like you have to be very intentional.
Right? What is your avocado system? Can you go through it?
Well, I mean, at Whole Foods, they usually organize them by like they've figured out which are the ripest ones and move them front or back depending on the way it's set up that day. So you just got to like go through the whole line of them and just get one from sort of each area and you're usually set for the week.
What happened that you had one left over? Struck.
I shopped on Martin Luther King Monday instead of on Sunday.
So you can't buy four? Like you couldn't buy four?
I just couldn't do it. So I bought five and I had one stray for the weekend.
Why don't you just eat it on a Saturday?
I did.
Oh.
That's why I
thought you were like, no, I don't eat avocado Saturdays and Sundays.
So you couldn't buy five.
No, it was straight for the weekend. I just bought five. I think I honestly was on autopilot and forgot it was Monday.
That's probably good. Do you buy the same like things every time you go to the store?
I do.
I wish I had that kind of dedication.
I'll like switch up what fish I get. Like sometimes I'll get a salmon. Sometimes I'll get cod or whatever. But yeah.
Salmon or like smoked salmon?
No, regular salmon.
Regular salmon. Are we still doing the smoked salmon?
No, we're not doing
that. That's good. It's very salty.
I've grown.
What I missed this today on the Discord. They're talking about where Rutgers is going to play. What the hell is this?
What?
Huh? Oh, so someone relayed a rumor from the TKR podcast.
Sorry, I'm now just catching up on the Discord. I usually miss big chunks. What they say on the TKR podcast? They're speculating if Rutgers does renovations to the rack?
Yes.
22-15 more? I guess I'll listen to that eventually at some point.
Where'd
Mike? Oh, Mike left. What else we got? What do you think of Greg taking up all the seats, Danny? Everybody got very... My tweet started making ruffling some feathers. I tweeted out a photo of the student section last night prior to the game and all those empty rows that went to Greg.
I mean, he should have some for recruits, there's no doubt. But kids shouldn't be sitting in the 300s. They shouldn't be shipping students up to the 300 level, right? Like, we have to have a better understanding as to how many students are showing up to have, like, a proper number of
football. Why not? That's kind of cool. That's what they used to do back in the day. The overflow.
Those horrible seats, shipping them all the way up there.
Who cares where they're students. They don't care.
They do. They want to be with their friends and behind the basket. They care.
Then they should stand online earlier.
Nice.
Here's the thing though, right? With the overflow and like if you really think about how like numbers work and everything, like we're talking about, Greg Schiano can't take up that many seats. All right, what do you want to do? Take up three fewer rows so like 50 more kids can get into the student section? Like, what are we talking about?
No, I honestly was surprised on a weekday Tuesday night game that it was like a recruiting night. I was a little like, I know they did the Ohio State game. They did one other game prior to that. I was like, oh, those are like their two big things. And then if you bring like, you know, a couple of guys here and there and you want to take up a few. I just was like surprised how many.
Craig was like, I got to show them beating Penn State in something. So this is our way to do it.
I just don't know what like people want. Like it's really not big of a deal.
They don't want them there.
Don't want them at all.
No. Yeah. Okay. They don't want them at all.
All right. I mean, that's ridiculous, but
it's like blacked out on TV. It's not like you can see.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just funny. I mean, we've talked about this offline. I've brought it up too in the past. This reminds me of the water years a little bit when they were winning early on up by, you know, like the rack was awesome then. And then Greg would start to do this thing. But back then the difference was he used to not show up with everybody until the 16-minute timeout mark because he wanted an applause and to like showboat and come on in. And now if he did that, nobody would care. They'd probably boo him, honestly.
No one would even notice.
Well, now they walk at with like 10 seconds left on the clock, right?
It's just funny how things change. Where it's like, yo, dude, this isn't like how it works in basketball school. Mm-hmm. Basketball school, baby.
Mm-hmm. When he gave his like his how do I want to put this? His very animated speech at halftime of the Seton Hall game, like that was still like his building. Like it was like you know what I mean. Like if he got out there now, be like, this isn't your building, sir.
Yeah, like get off the floor now.
Mr. McGoo looking guy over there. This is his building.
That's 3 years and 2 months ago. Like how quickly things change.
All right. So what do they have to be? Where do they wind up, Danny, prediction wise, seed line at the end of this thing? Where are they getting?
He doesn't want. Oh, this is.
Come on, say it. No, he doesn't.
There's a psychological component here with Danny. Like he's really got to think about this. What does he want to say? What does he actually think? Does he want to say what he thinks? Like he has no idea what to say here.
They're going to be a four seed in Albany, in the East region, with the Garden as the Sweet 16.
Crazy person. Imagine being like Kansas or like whoever or Purdue. No, it would be Purdue. It would be like you're Alabama and you're walking into the Garden as a one seed in the Sweet 16 you play against four. That would be like they would
15,000
like
15,000 record wins.
That would be just stupid. That would never happen.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, oh yeah. They could just be a one seed.
Yeah. It's funny. I was talking to my friend about this today, and he's like, we were all like arguing, like, well, how many seed lines did Seton Hall and Temple cost them? I was like, probably two. He's like, could have been a two seed.
Hey, if they went out, they're a one seed. If you're 17 and three and you win the Big East, Big Ten tournament, you're going to be a one seed.
I don't think so, Max. They've got six losses. You know,
29 and one seed
have six losses. No way.
Can we just stop for a second and say that Danny is actually legitimately arguing this with Max right now?
Well, you know why I'm arguing this is a real thing? I ran the numbers today because I'm weird. 0.63% chance of running the table.
You ran Ken Pom's numbers. You didn't run the numbers. You ran Ken Pom's numbers.
I was listening to the Rutgers Rant guys the other day. Is that true? Fonseca was saying that this was prior to last night's game that. Number statistically, they've got one of the easier Big Ten schedules left.
The easiest. They have
played. This is like a failure if they don't get to a four seed.
They have played the second hardest schedule in the Big Ten to date, and they have the easiest remaining.
This is a choke job if they don't.
It's a little skewed because they're playing a lot of road games down the stretch. They have a couple of like no win situations, right? With like Minnesota at home, at Minnesota. I'd argue Nebraska at home is teetering that way because they're really injured. But yeah, and Brad Walk told me a comment yesterday that they can't improve their resume with any of their remaining home games. And I would argue Northwestern on senior day could end up being that. Northwestern keeps winning and doing it well. Like they could push their way toward, you know, Q1, but I don't think so.
At what point do we get to stop doing the Q thing? Like, what do we get to stop like talking about the quads, like and the net? And it's like,
well, I don't think
they're going to comfortably make the tournament.
But the argument of what you're arguing over is different. But you're still using the same things. It was five, okay. Six, they don't deserve to make the tournament. Seven, now you're like, oh, five, six, seven. Correct. So you're still using the same thing.
I can't care about that. Danny, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I have to because each of the last six NCAA tournaments has had a one seed with six losses. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, well, at least one. Corrected. Couple, too.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I haven't really looked at that part of the bracket often in my life. It hasn't exactly been part of my
Rutgers is going to be a one. If they win out, they're a one seed. So that's how many? 11.
Just win out.
It's only 14. It's only 14 straight wins. They already have 14.
Because you're giving them the double bye, right?
They already have 14 wins. It's just double the amount of wins they had.
That's all. Yeah. Hmm. That's crazy to think how many games they play in like a 6-week stretch.
Yeah. I mean, it's like almost like an NBA schedule at that point.
Yeah. Honestly. Well, no, I mean, Northwestern's got the crazy. Northwestern's playing 6 games in 13 days.
Right. Because they missed because the
reschedule. Yeah.
Scamdemic.
This is truly scamdemic, by the way, in some ways.
Oh, yeah. But I think they had like they positive.
They should have been forfeits, I mean, in my opinion. Like they were down to 6 active players because of COVID and injuries. And the NCAA rules state that 7 active players are what you need in order.
Women's UConn, they had that problem. Yeah. They had a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, but they allowed them to reschedule too.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I just felt like it should have been a forfeit. I just feel that should have been. I don't know why.
Can I ask you something? Is there some sort of ulterior motive here? Like you want it to be a forfeit because it helps Rutgers net or something? I'm sorry, I have to ask. Everything you say is just like
They got a Q1 win against Northwestern. If anything, I would like them to keep winning. It proves the quality of the win.
That's what I figured. I just didn't know if there was some convoluted way that you were trying to angle for something.
No, actually, here's the convoluted thinking that I had was. I wondered if any of the reschedules in the case of Wisconsin or Iowa would benefit Rutgers in the sense, would they have to play a game closer to the Rutgers game because of the reschedule?
In the business because he thinks about things like that. I didn't say one of the best in the business. That's why he's in the business.
In the business of what? Being
in the business of college basketball opinion having.
We brought this up today on the text chain in a kind of Rutgers related way. How great is it to see Jim Boeheim and Syracuse struggling?
Best.
That brings a smile to my face.
The only thing that sucks is that Rutgers doesn't get to stomp them.
Yeah, as you said, not being able to face them yearly and get some revenge and smoke them at the rack in front of 8,000 people.
I can only complain about this so many times, but I'll do it one more time. I would love for this to be in the Big East, man. Like, just I can't get on in with this Big Ten thing. I can't. Like, this needs to be UConn and Georgetown and Villanova and Syracuse and these teams coming to the rack. I don't give a shit about Penn State. I'm sorry. Penn State basketball, I don't care.
Nobody cares about Penn State basketball, not even Penn State fans.
Yeah, I still haven't. I haven't really. I don't feel a great connection to the conference still.
This Indiana, right? That's
yeah.
All
that's been fun. Like that has truly developed and been very, very fun.
Purdue a little bit, I guess, but it's not as fun.
Yeah,
I respect that fan base though. Indiana's, I don't. So
no, Indiana's. It's great. Indiana, you know why? It's because of the Long Island. There's so many Long Island, New York, people that it's a local thing as much. Even you know what, Michigan would be like that too. Like if Greg would have actually found a kicker to beat Michigan a couple of years ago and like gotten Harbaugh fired and a little bit of kind of sticking it to them basketball wise, I think that would piss them off enough, their fan base, where that would be fun. The caviar sniffers would have had enough with Rutgers. Like Ohio State is never going to be like that. They don't care.
Nebraska. I remember a time when Max was scaremongering us with the idea that Fred Hoiberg and Juwan Howard were going to come into this conference and run X's and O's circles around Steve Peichel and, oh, just give Hoiberg 5 years. Nebraska's going to be winning the Big Ten. And, oh, look at them now, Max. Look at them.
I said they'd be good. I was obviously
wrong about that. I wish I had.
You know, okay, and Michigan. You know, Michigan was a one seed like 2 seasons ago. Right?
I'm not talking. Did I say Juwan? I said Juwan. I put Juwan in the initial portion of that program, and then I said Max said Fred Hoiberg.
I was wrong about Nebraska. You recruited a bunch of bad players. he took every transfer that like wanted to go to his school. And they were pretty much all bad.
Yeah, they really all have been pretty bad. It's remarkable.
Maybe McGowan's. I mean, that was a recruit. That wasn't even a transfer.
That was because his brother was there. So right. Got, yeah.
Are you going to go to any other games, Max, for the year?
I'll probably end up. Well, I'm going to Michigan State game at the Garden. And then I'm sure I'll end up at something else.
You'll end up at Northwestern. That Sunday night game. Too,
yeah, I think Michigan and Northwestern are two that I'll aim for.
Danny, have you had any luck finding anyone to go to this Minnesota game with you?
Jordan's coming.
Okay.
Yeah, Jordan's coming. So I think when Jordan comes, mom and dad will probably drag.
That makes sense. Too. I thought you might have some trouble getting rid of that one. 8:30 tip against Minnesota.
It's Nebraska on Valentine's Day. Jordan obviously is trying not to get divorced before he's married.
That's such a great Lonely Nights episode in the making right there for you. We should do. Come on. Take a
Nebraska on Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Take a date. Take a date, Danny, there. We will pay. Or the Are You Screw podcast will pay for dinner that night.
No way. No. All right. And then Michigan, I'm sure we'll be fine tickets wise. And then
look how fast he moved past that offer.
Northwestern will be interesting because I think a lot will be dependent on how much that game means.
I mean, they'll be playing for a one seed. It's going to mean a lot.
Well, if they're playing for the Big Ten title, imagine. If only if Purdue goes on a little swoon.
Did you see Zach Edey's comments, by the way?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
The rack is, Danny, do you think – I think it's more popular now because of social media, I'm sure, and everything in terms of recognition than it ever was back in like the Gary Waters time.
I don't think it's possible to really compare, right? Like to your point about
it's
social
different.
Media,
it's different. Very different. I just think
it's a huge national pub back in the day too, right? Like all of those like, second loudest arena in the country type stuff. But
what is, by the way, he was describing it. And I guess it's really a thing if you're not used to it. He's just like, the fans are just different. It's like, it's a New Jersey thing. Are people nicer elsewhere and like they just aren't as mean?
I just think Zach Edey's responding to that time they kept his face on the scoreboard for 90 seconds because he must have thought that was really weird. Because anyone who was at that
Canadian,
like that, I've mentioned this before on the podcast. It's one of the strangest like experiences of my life was Zach Edey, giant face, being on the Rutgers video board at the rack for 90 straight seconds in the second half of the Purdue game last year because he had committed a hard foul or something.
How about them still using Mike Watkins? To this day, that Mike Watkins meme that they do of him like going, from years ago in the Penn State game.
Like
they
what?
Were using that. They were like,
That reminds me, we need to do something. We've gotten really far into this episode without talking about Danny's, let's just do this. And then
you're supposed to be here for like 15 minutes.
Whatever. We'll get you out of here in like 5 minutes. All right. Just be quiet.
It is time for Danny to explain his tweets.
Explain his tweets.
Explain his tweets.
So Danny got in a Twitter fight with, what's his name, Eamon McEnany? Eamon McEnany of SNY, who Danny interned with or something. You know him?
Yeah, I mean, he worked in the newsroom. I interned in the newsroom at SNY. Okay. Yeah, 14 years ago.
So basically it's Danny and Eamon fighting about what's a better job, Rutgers, Notre Dame. Danny said Rutgers was exponentially better, blah 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 blah. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but there's one tweet in here I need to ask you about. Okay, there's this one.
Oh no.
Now Eamon, 570,000 living alumni, but I'll let it slide. The Big Ten is truly national conference. My uncle was vice chancellor of Cal Berkeley, and my dad was one of the longest running administrators in Rutgers history. I assure you the RU brand is far better outside of New Jersey. Now, I understand that this was purposely douchey. However, yeah. My uncle was the vice chancellor. It's just one of the funniest sentences I've ever read in my life.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was trying to match his Notre Dame douchiness as best I could.
You matched it.
I did. I went for the jugular there. But my basic point is, and this is sort of what I grew up with my uncle talking to us about
Uncle Chance,
Uncle George, about the Rutgers brand out west. And basically, the further west you go, the better thought of Rutgers is. And that was the point I was trying to make. That's all.
And as the vice chancellor's nephew, this is information that you're privy to.
I am privy to said information. Exactly. There you go.
So we're all in agreement that the name of the episode is the vice chancellor's nephew, right?
I figured that was going to be the case.
It was either. I mean, my ovaries are shriveling up is now a close.
I was thinking before Charlie's ovaries was my other idea.
Oh, God. Charlie's ovaries. So bad. I thought you said you were more interested in acting chancellors. Once upon a time,
my, if, If Mike came even more prepared, he would have done a teardrop of current vice chancellors at different universities.
Yeah, and I was trying to get him to call Vlad. He didn't do that.
But he gave us his little thing. It was good. Vlad, I appreciate though. That.
Geopolitically, not a great time to have fake Vlad on the show.
You'd think Vlad would want to come on and explain himself, right? All right, let's run through the Discord. Danny, you can hop off if you want. We're just going to run through the Discord suggestions.
You have a good night.
See you, Danny. Let's see. Let's just go through these real quick. Do top 10 worst things about Rutgers. That sounds like a lot of work. What's the worst thing that you like about Rutgers when you were like a student, I guess? Do you remember?
What was the website? Sakai or whatever?
Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
Yeah, awful. No, it's not even close.
Adam, you're 34, right? You just turned 34?
Yeah, okay, 34.
So I'm 35, so like we're old, as you know, because you've been listening. I don't know why I'm giving you that background. we were there when like they were first starting like the online portals and stuff, yeah. And it was terrible. Like it would bug out and like you couldn't submit stuff and it was terrible.
I think my freshman year was the first year where they were trying to get Wi-Fi in some dorms. Because when I was in Tinsley my freshman year, we did not have Wi-Fi. We were still like an Ethernet hookup.
Yeah, no, you're 2 years after me. So yeah, like I moved out of the dorm after freshman year. So I have no idea what they about Wi-Fi. I don't think they, yeah. I don't remember. When did they have Wi-Fi before you were gone?
I believe so. Okay. Yeah, I just remember my freshman year just having to always plug into the internet for 2000. And that was 2007. Right. So, from there, then I also moved off campus after my freshman year. So that was a little bit different. But yeah, Sakai by far was the worst in terms of wait times, how you pick classes, how you found everything, like your schedules. And that sucked. That was a really bad system.
Something randomly I thought about. Do you remember when you used to be able to cut over from George Street to College Avenue by cutting through the parking garage?
Yeah. Yeah. Then they put that weird, that just basic barrier there. It was like, yeah, you can't do this anymore.
That was very frustrating when they put that up. I mean, yeah. I understand why, but
yeah, no, that and then for a little bit while they were doing renovations for where eventually the yard was, they wound up putting one of the grease trucks there for a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, there might have been a Starbucks truck there, I think.
Whatever it was. That was, I think, just after I had graduated. Like I don't think that happened. Because when I was, even when I graduated, the trucks were still there. That hadn't started just yet. But yeah, that area there, I used to live right off of Huntington Street right there. So I would use my car sometimes to cut through there. So that was a nice little shortcut that you could use.
They don't have the P.O. boxes anymore. Apparently they haven't had those in like 10 years. People don't have like their own individual, because remember you had like that something RPO way or whatever was like your address. I think I used it one time.
Wasn't that where Records Hall was?
That's where the post office was. Anything else in here?
I think somebody asked for our worst WRSU travel stories.
Yeah, Alec, our guy over it. We need to like deploy him somehow. Like he's a WRSU person. Like he's a student. I feel like he'll, you know, he's amenable to like doing stupid things. We need to like use him somehow.
All right, we'll think about that.
Like tactically.
Worst WRSU traveler. I don't really have any. I've interesting trips. Danny and I went to the Virgin Islands for like 5 days on the women's basketball dime, which was amazing. I always like reminiscing and looking through old photos of that trip and really just, you know, enjoying myself, Danny soaking in the sun, myself just enjoying some poolside action. It really just a really, I got to go back and find where those photos are one day.
Did you guys pose for any pics when you were in the Virgin Islands?
Yeah, that's what I'm sure we did. Okay. I'm sure cool. We did. You got to impress everybody, you know, put it on Facebook way back when.
Show off those guns.
Yeah. When Facebook was cool. Be like, oh, you know, here I am just posing. Let me just make a muscle and, you know, look, maybe add a little oil, baby oil, something like that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think, I mean, there's been delays. I think I spent like 9 hours at the, like O'Hare in Chicago, like that. I mean, whatever. Yeah. That's just normal.
I was on Mike and I went to Morgantown together for a men's basketball trip. And I don't know how we wound up getting up. We got on a plane we flew into Washington, D.C. and took like a prop plane from Washington, D.C. to Morgantown's airport, which is like, that is the smallest airport I've ever flown into, like propellers and everything, where it was like a seven seat type plane. I don't even know how these things existed. And then
you guys did like a double trip, right? You guys,
we did.
Okay. I remember that.
Yeah. We wound up then driving to Pittsburgh and I think we caught one other game there or something like that.
Yeah, I was a sports director. I remember you guys doing a double trip. Yeah.
Yeah. So we did that. And I just remember we'd arrive, like the people that like tow the plane in, like one person also is the guy that takes the bags off and like you puts on the carousel, which isn't even a carousel. It literally they just put it in a lobby for you.
So
and
if then, he goes on break, like the plane is delayed. Like
and then the guy who took us to the hotel, like it was the most West Virginia thing. Like when you imagine West Virginia and the hills out there, that was the person that picked us up. That was the type of car they had. It was an interesting trip. But fun. Morgantown's an awesome college town.
There were plenty of trips that like you'd go on and you'd do all the shit and then you'd get to the arena and like the equipment wouldn't work for the first 10 minutes or whatever. Like that's a standard like
calling a game on cell phone.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I mean, I assume because they have like wireless now and they're doing stuff, they're not dialing in like we did, like all that stuff. So like I'm assuming that their technology is a little bit better. But yeah. I hope that the kids at WRSU these days are still experiencing terrible techno. Like it's part of the WRSU experience. I feel like
how many times like were we using broken headphones?
Oh, I mean,
or headsets.
They were so hot. Those really old ones from the 70s.
Really
with the giant pads.
It would just suck your ears.
Oh, in it was like that. Those were like, yeah, those were. I used to. Okay, I'll admit to this now. When I was sports director, I would keep the equipment at my house just so I would not get like somehow end up with the other headsets.
Yeah.
Like in between trips, I would be like, someone might take the good equipment. I'm going to keep this here and leave the hotline.
At that time, we pretty much had one set of those nice newer headsets at the time. And so if you didn't get those.
And when I had them and no one else needed them, I was being a dumb college kid and holding on to like thousands of dollars worth of radio equipment that I should not have been, but I was doing it.
Yeah, luckily I didn't have any horror stories in terms of traveling. The only thing, my best story to go total opposite was a trip that Danny and I took. I was sports director at the time. We went to Louisville and they were playing on the road at Louisville. And Danny and myself, knowing one of the managers, we got on the team plane. We got on the charter there and back. And that's when I was like, this is nice. We got on before we got on the plane, they took our order for Tasty Sub. We each got a Tasty Sub on the way down. We went out to dinner that night with the team after shoot around. That Hominy Engi was on that team, Mike Rosario. Danny and I got there early, so we just sat down at the table waiting for everybody to show up. And apparently we were sitting accidentally at the coach's table, and Fred was like, get up. You guys aren't sitting here. Like you guys got to sit with like the players down there, like just sit at the end and don't talk to anybody. So we did that. And then on the way back though, that was,
did he actually tell you not to talk to anybody?
No, I mean like it pretty much insinuated. There was like, just don't piss anybody off. I think he just meant like, just don't say anything to Mike Rosario and get him annoyed or anything. Cause I think like half the team hated him at the time anyway. The flight back, flight, I think it was like a known thing that he wasn't a very well-liked guy. On a flight back, I think we all got a KFC. KFC was the flight back.
Like, I don't understand. How are they like, where are they getting like the Tasty Sub from? Like, I don't understand. Like
the Tasty Sub on the way down, like they cater it. Like somebody goes, picks it up and they put it on the bus and then you go to the airport. And
okay.
The
I thought they were taking your order on the plane.
No. They text you beforehand. Be like, what do you want? We're getting Tasty Subs. What do you want? So that was waiting for us on the plane. And then on the way back, they have, you know, like the director of operations or whatever, they're in charge of making sure the food's already on the way back. Everybody had KFC. So that was a nice one. That was a cool trip seeing how the team does it. That was the only time I've ever been on a team plane for that. Wasn't very exciting. Like nothing was going on the plane. Like, you know, in between that wasn't long enough flight, but that was cool. That was a good experience.
Is there anything else from the Discord? There are a couple of things maybe. Would you rather win a Big Ten regular season title or make the Sweet 16? Shout out to Kevin Gengler.
Big Ten regular season title or the Sweet 16?
I'm taking the regular season title because I think that it would be so ridiculous to go like 16-4 in the Big Ten. Like that season would be great.
Yes, yes. I mean, they were a missed dunk away from going to the Sweet 16. So like you could, if it's an either or, I mean, you want, give me the banner for the regular season title.
And I mean, if you think about it, like over the next however many years, they're going to make more Sweet 16s than like, than win Big Ten titles.
Yeah, like they, we're gonna be that program that just had, you're like, that was an awful first round loss. You're so much better. Why that team just hit like 15 threes?
They're gonna be a five seed and then lose to Oral Roberts because they hit 15 threes. It's how this is gonna go.
And then they're gonna go back to be a 10 seed in a couple of years and they're gonna find a way to make a Sweet 16 run. Like that's
going to be funny is that they'll be a five seed or whatever this year. By the way, everyone like appreciate this because I know you kind of assume, hey, oh, they're a five seed now. You add Gavin Griffiths and Ace Bailey and maybe Dylan Harper, and then they'll be number one. Like basketball is weird and teams are weird and combinations of talent is weird. And like, you don't always know how it's going to go. So like really appreciate this season because you never know. But, what I was going to get at is it's going to be funny in the future. So they'll be like a five seed this year. And then like next year, if they're merely only like on the bubble, oh man, some people are gonna get mad.
It's gonna be the Shiano effect that we ran into at the end of that. It's like you keep saying you're gonna appreciate it and know we're never gonna turn into like that fan base, but that's like that is the progression of a program. Is like as you get better, your expectations raise, and you just totally forget how bad it could be at certain times, which is great.
Right, and like, I don't think I've explained it this way, but like I was obviously wrong about Steve Peichel. I never thought they could defend at a level that would make up for the inability to run an offense, but like he's found a way. As I said before, like this is such a, like, it's such a weirdly constructed team that just kicks your ass on defense. They don't stop for like a second on defense. It must be very stressful to play against them.
Yeah. It's play amazing defense, be the best defense in the country. And then there was that chart that circulated on Twitter not too long ago about the teams who make like those 10-0 runs and Rutgers being like, that's what they do. They play in close games and then they just find a little spurt and then that's how they're going to beat you. And they're going to just continue to clamp down defensively.
And it's just like, and it's like the offensive efficiency keeps getting worse. Like it's just like, I don't know. This team is just weird and it's really good and it's fun. I mean, they're so good defensively that you can't complain about the offense because they're so good defensively that, like, you know, whatever. Like you said earlier, just accept them for what they are.
And appreciate this. Pounding it is bricks. Very, it's so cool to see. It sucked being at school and having basketball be so bad. I loved growing up and having, entertaining Rutgers basketball teams and the rack being what it is. It's awesome right now. I mean, there's a buzz to see now, like students having to line up 2 hours before a game. That's ridiculous.
I've talked about this. I've made this joke before. It's not a joke. It's something that happened. Like I used to see women's basketball players doing homework.
Yeah.
In the student section. Like it didn't happen a bunch of times, but there was room to like put some books and like spread out. And
a punishment for my fraternity was forcing guys to go to games.
Wait, like how did that work?
It was pretty much like you were trying to figure out like things that like, you know, pledges and whatnot can do. And let's maybe stay away from like actual hazing and like harassment. And let's just go with something that's like just as torturous, watching a Fred Hill basketball team. And like, that's what I was like, you guys have to show up together at this time, be early, like get on the bus together. Oh, and you guys have to paint your chest as well too. And like, that's what we did, you know? That was
the good guy hazing.
The good kind of hazing where it's like, let's not like take it too overboard. You know, no alcohol poisoning, none of that shit, guys. No smacking each other with, you know, wooden paddles, none of that shit.
And then best flavor of like the frozen ice, like the ones that are blue, green, red, orange, pink, purple.
I would probably go with red.
Reds. Yeah. I go red, pink, orange, green, blue, purple. I think everyone agrees that purple's the worst.
Yeah. Purple's the worst. I'd probably go orange second. That's the only thing I'd maybe switch up. But other than that, I'm fine.
Is Charlie's Ovaries and the Vice Chancellor's nephew too long of a name?
Yeah, I don't know. You can give it a shot. There are no rules.
I don't even know if they'll let me like upload a title that long. I assume they will. They probably
just see where it cuts off and just end the title there.
Okay.
We'll let's just see where it cuts off and that's the end of it.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, that was fun. I think that was a good. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
Weird episode. I think that was a weird episode. I think if I listen back, I think that was weird, but we'll see.
I don't give the people what they want. All right. What is it? Iowa's coming up. I don't know what else. I think Minnesota. So we'll probably do this maybe in a couple weeks or something like that.
This was 3 weeks and 2-3 weeks, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do that. All right. Well, see ya.
Pay the player.
Saints go.